It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we've run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm Mel. Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody. Doc Young here with you at Wrestling Weekly. I love this music that we're coming into. This is all our music right now that we come into here on Wrestling Weekly is it's all sent to us now. We're using original music only, and you can also send yours in to us here at Wrestling Weekly if you'd like to hear it on the show. Like I said, Doc Young here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Les Thatcher, well, he's not here tonight. The poor guy. I got a call maybe probably a half an hour ago, 40 minutes ago or something. And in the last hour and a half, Les has been feeling really bad. I think he thinks he has food poisoning. I don't know if I should be even telling everybody about this. But, yeah, he's sick and he sounds horrible. So tonight we've got on the program, joining me in Les's seat, from WrestleView.com. He is the webmaster of WrestleView.com. Adam Martin's with us. Adam, thanks for filling in on such short notice. Uh-oh. I hope he's there. That's so not good. Adam, are you with us? That's not good at all. We'll have to get Adam back on here in just a second. Let me let's go ahead and take a quick break and get Adam back on here for a second, and then we will start the show. Of course, it's going to be one of those really really professional shows here tonight at Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
We're back here at Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young, and the man I just introduced, but he could not hear me. Adam Martin from WrestleView.com is now on the air. Adam, it's gonna be one of those nights. Either we're gonna have one of those really really good shows that we sometimes have when Les isn't here, or it's going to be the most unprofessional put together thing in existence, and You just don't know what kind of show it's going to be, and that's why live radio is cool.
I hope I don't bring that out of people, because there was instances, you know, where I was hosting a show by myself and I had one of those technical problems, and it just, you know, that starts to take over the show theme itself. But I hope I'm not bringing bad luck to Wrestling Weekly.
Doesn't it? No, it's not bad luck, and I'm actually glad you're here and Les isn't, because if I had made a mistake like that with Les on the air, it would take 15 minutes to recover from the tongue lashing that I would have gotten.
We do want to wish Les well, though, because I understand he has some food poisoning or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He's not feeling well, well, I'm sure he'll be back next week. Usually, if it is something like food poisoning, it's it's a 24-hour thing usually.
Yeah, I usually get over pretty quickly. So
he, of course, he'll send me an email when he feels better. But when I was talking to him, he didn't feel all that well at all.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
No. Before we get into the show, guys, I do want to tell you. Of course, we've got Sean Stasiak tonight. For part two of his interview, and tonight we're going to go straight to questions. We're going to talk about his WWE career, so have all those questions ready. Don't forget to join us in the chat room live right now with the other listeners. It's at WrestlingWeekly.com, and then click on the chat link, and you can join the chat room, and that's how you submit questions for us. So Sean Stasiak is going to be on the show, and also on the program tonight is Sean Daivari, so it's two Seans tonight.
There you go. It'll be interesting to talk to Daivari, because I know we were talking about this before and how he's been making the rounds, lot of interviews since he left the WWE, and it just seems like he's been asked the same questions. So I think we'd take that in a little different direction than some other shows have done. Not to say that those shows were bad, it's just that he's just done quite a bit of interviews, and you pretty much know where he stands with the WWE and why he left. And,
right,
you know.
And I think we're the last show to get Daivari on.
Okay. So that makes you very lucky then, yeah.
I guess. Yeah, but Daivari has been making the rounds, and a lot of people know, of course, the story about his release from WWE, so that's well and cool. But if you have any questions that you're wondering that you haven't heard about Daivari, come on in the chat room, WrestlingWeekly.com, click on the chat link. It is awards time. I do want to say this before we get into the news. The Wrestling Radio Awards have started their nominations for this year. A lot of people remember last year that Wrestling Weekly won an award, finally. No, I'm teasing. But no, we did win an award, and it was really cool. And it was for Best Female Interview of the Year for 2007. For 2006. For Christy Hemme, my woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your lady, yeah.
My woman. So that was really cool, and we want to win some more. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com. There's a nomination ballot there. And they're going to take the nominations till December 10th. And then voting's going to begin. So it's going to be a cool month. Go back and vote often. You can vote more than once. So go ahead and vote often. And if you're wondering what should you nominate for Wrestling Weekly, of course, go to WrestlingWeekly.com. Click on the archives link. You can see a list of all our shows, all our guests. And go back and listen to them, too, if you want.
Yeah, that's always a fun thing that they do every year, and they started doing that a couple of years ago, and I know a lot of people were getting sick of it when Get in the Ring kept winning every single year, and everybody was just like, oh, you know, but...
Get in the Ring won, like, I think this is either the 7th or the 8th annual Wrestling Radio Awards.
I remember which one it was, because it's been around for a while, but it's a really cool concept, and they do a good job over at Audio Wrestling when they put it all together. And,
yes, it's really cool. But I think Get in the Ring won 4 years in a row.
Yeah, they won for
best show.
Yeah, they won for a long time. They were the reigning kings for a long time there. So
yes, but now it's time for someone else to take that crown.
Yes,
it could be Wrestling Weekly.
There you go.
It would be nice. Also, the Wrestling Radio Network is holding their year end awards. You can also vote there at WrestlingRadioNetwork.com. That's mostly for wrestling that you see on TV, those kind of awards, match of the year, things like that.
Which is still fun to do because it's kind of fun to go back and remember stuff and
find out what the listeners thought about this year.
Yeah, it's always fun to do.
Also, Wrestling Weekly is going to be taking a holiday break, guys. You knew this was coming. We're not going to be on the air on December 25th or January 1st. I guess people should have saw that coming. I think last year, it was Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve that the show fell on.
And did you do the shows?
Of course not.
I didn't think so.
Mm-mm.
What about next week? The next week's Thanksgiving.
No, well,
Thanksgiving's
on Thanksgiving
Thursday. Week. I mean, I know some people get more busy towards Thursday, but I didn't know if you want to.
No, we will have a show next week, and J.J. Dillon's going to be with us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, he's going to be discussing the Guest Booker DVD. And you have to get the DVD and watch this, or you're not going to understand what we're talking about, because we're going to talk about the content in the DVD when he comes on the air.
I've heard a lot of good things about that. So,
check, yeah, at kayfabecommentaries.com is where you can get that that DVD. Eddie Guerrero, I guess, would lead the news today.
Yeah.
This is the to the day. This is the day 2 years that he passed away.
Yeah.
And we did. I remember we, Les and I, we at that time we were on Sundays, in the early evening, and I had gotten news maybe 2.5 hours, I think, before we went on the air, that Eddie had passed away. So it was a really sad, sad episode. And we spent pretty much almost the first hour talking about Eddie Guerrero. And we had J.J. Dillon on, and he spoke about the memories of Eddie. But this is a, I don't want to say a special day, because special usually has that connotation of positive.
Yeah.
And there's nothing positive about it, but it is a remarkable day, I'll say.
Yeah, it's one of those days you're never going to forget, and, you know, I mean, if you watched the CNN documentary, it kind of reminded you a little bit of Eddie, because they did do some stuff about Eddie in the documentary, and, you know, it almost feels like it's almost been a little bit longer than 2 years, the way everything kind of went down. And I know there was a lot of controversy after he died, and they used him in storylines, and a lot of people said, you know, Rey Mysterio never would have won the World Heavyweight Championship if it weren't for Eddie passing away, and things like that. And you could debate and do that all day, but that was just one of those, it was a shocking death for a lot of people, just because that was at the point where he was starting to clean up his act and,
right,
you know, get back on track a little bit. And I know he was frustrated, before that point, when he was WWE champion, and he felt that it was his responsibility to have ratings be high on SmackDown, and they weren't as high as he would have liked, and he was dealing with things like that. But, you know, that was the night that he was supposed to win the title back, and even though they wanted to put it on Randy Orton, he was actually in favor of putting it on Randy instead of himself. But, you know, it was one of those crazy things, and then ultimately his death led to the introduction of the wellness policy, which is still under the microscope right now.
Yeah. And you're right when you started talking about that it really seems like it's been longer than 2 years.
Yeah, it does.
A lot has happened since then, especially the most notable, of course, is one of his best friends, Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
But I guess, how long did it take after Eddie's death for this wellness policy to be instituted?
They instituted it in February of 06, and Eddie passed away November of 05, so it took a couple months. And I remember, I'll never forget that I think they were about to go overseas, or it was a week or two after he had passed away, and they had footage up of everybody from the talent roster in this room, and Vince McMahon was talking to everybody and how they were going to institute a new drug policy, and that was a really big deal. And it was fine until some more people had passed away, and then the whole Benoit stuff went down, and they really attacked it in the CNN documentary. And another kind of thing they talked about in the documentary was when Benoit's journal, his journal that he would keep, where he would write letters to Eddie Guerrero, and that was his way of kind of dealing with the loss.
Yeah.
So that was kind of creepy to hear some of the things he was saying, and, you know, that might have been a red flag for some people.
And he won't really, Benoit's father won't really release any of that, which was...
I'm surprised he released as much as he did. I mean, I know there was reports that he did do that, but we didn't really know what he was writing about or saying, and it was kind of surprising,
right,
to hear the stuff he actually was saying. And
I could see that, you know, the wish for the privacy.
It's his
son, and it really is a family thing. But the reason stories like this are so important, I think, to other people is... Well, at least the closure is important to other people's. You know, they want to understand.
Yeah.
You know, and I, as long as he keeps these to himself, they're not going to understand.
Yeah, I don't think that's a situation that, you know, fortunately, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you're not a wrestling fan, you're going to see that Benoit tragedy is one or the other, you know, so.
Right.
It's going to be tough to always talk about. Especially, you know, Eddie's death was very tough to deal with, and I know a lot of guys were just broken up about it. And, you know, it was another it was another year, it was another guy passing away that we weren't ready for yet, and it was just, very sad, and like I said, just can't believe it's been 2 years. It seems like it's been longer than that.
Absolutely. Another big news item this week, I guess, is Chris Masters released on Thursday.
Yeah, that was I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, that supposedly this was his second offense, because he had a first offense that was a 30-day suspension, and then he was brought back to television, looked a lot smaller, and then this was supposed to be his second offense, which was a 60-day suspension, then a third one would have been, you know, three strikes, you're out, you're fired. But hearing from a lot of people that he had actually tested positive more than the twice that we were, you know, led to believe, and I don't know if the CNN documentary, because it was interesting the time when that documentary aired on a Wednesday and they announced it the following day that he'd been released. It was kind of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a coincidence, but, you know, it was interesting timing nonetheless to release him right after that documentary hit the air and got some attention. So,
yeah, when Chris was suspended the first time over the Signature Pharmacy whole debacle, a lot of people were saying at the time, that's not his first, that's his second.
Yeah.
So they're saying,
maybe this was the third, even though this was treated as a second offense with a 60-day suspension.
Right. And there are some reports going on that it's actually his fourth or even more.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I seriously doubt Chris is going to be able to talk about it for a while.
Yeah. You would think they would keep a lid on that or have to know it on complete cause, you know. And
right. But when he does, hopefully we'll understand a little bit better what's going on with that. Do you see Chris on TNA?
You would think they would be a little nervous. And, you know, and again, this might be a dumb statement to make, given that Booker T just debuted, and the reason he was gone was because of, you know, suspension. But, you know, if I was TNA, I'd be a little nervous to bring Masters in just because of what happened and how much scrutiny is going on right now in the industry. And even though TNA is not getting the brunt of the attention like the WWE is, I would be a little hesitant to want to bring him on, knowing his past. But then again, they brought Joey Mercury in for Bound for Glory. They didn't sign him to a contract, but, you know, Booker T's there now, and I don't know if that's even an issue. Even though Dixie Carter said that they're going to start doing something soon, I don't know if it's an issue. I know Gail Kim has commented in some interviews saying that they've been told that a drug policy is going to be instituted soon, but, you know, you hear that a lot, but it's one thing to say and it's another thing to do it. But I would be surprised. I mean, you can see the track record of that company. They like to bring in former WWE guys, but I would be pretty surprised, given how many times he failed the drug test, that they would want to bring him in. But, hey, it's not my decision, you know.
Right. It's also being reported by PW Insider that WWE has released developmental talent Ryan Wilson. Wilson worked in OVW as the mask character Jacob Duncan. He had signed with WWE in November 2005 and had worked with TNA as part of the Red Shirt Security back when they were running in Nashville, and then later as Triton.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember. I mean, like some kind of remember. I've watched, you know, TNA since the beginning, and I actually had a chance to work with Ryan at a little indie show in Branson, Missouri, when I went up and met Trey and JSK when I did Wrestling News Live with those guys. And Ryan was he was in the Red Shirt Security with Kevin Northcutt. And then he transitioned into this Triton character for TNA, which was in 2004, I would believe. That was when they were on Fox Sportsnet. Maybe it was in that transition period from 2004 to mid-2005. And didn't really work out too well. I know he debuted at, like, Destination X, I think, in 2005. And they tried a few with Monty Brown. It just didn't work out too well. And he later signed a deal just after they signed their Spike deal with WWE. And he had been just kind of on the developmental scene, and he was actually doing, I heard he was doing pretty well in that Jacob Duncan character, and he actually had a pretty good look, but it didn't really, I guess it didn't work. I guess he was OVW champion at one point, from what I was told. I don't really pay attention too much to OVW, but he had a very unique look to him, very, very big guy. I remember I was a referee for one of the shows, and it was him and Chris Harris in the main event, and just a big, big dude, that's kind of the model that the WWE likes, you know, the big, big guys,
right.
Very tall. But I guess it just didn't work out to what they were looking to do with him, and they let him go. So I hope everything works out for him in his career. Maybe he'll go back to TNA. I don't know if there's a job there still for him, but we'll see.
Yeah. Nick Hogan, of course, a.k.a. his real name's Nick Bollea, turned himself into Clearwater Police on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, and this is getting pretty interesting.
He's in trouble. He's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, a lot of trouble, especially when they found out that he had been drinking. He's under 21. He was speeding in going like 60 and a 40. And there's this attorney for Nick put out this statement where they released it to TMZ.com, and they were kind of I don't want to say they were blaming, but it felt like they were kind of blaming the passenger of Nick's, who was his friend who had just got back from Iraq, and he's pretty much a vegetable at this point. He's going to be in a nursing home for the rest of his life, and they kind of blamed him for not wearing his seatbelt because Nick was wearing his seatbelt. And it was a very odd statement that the attorney released. And I know there was some other evidence that they released where I guess there was a store nearby that had a camera, and it was showing that Nick wasn't racing with anybody before the crash happened. And I kind of saw the footage, but it was very, very quick. You know how camera footage is on stores. It's very,
right.
You know, like click, 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 click. You know, it's not like a full motion thing. But they're putting together a case, obviously, and he was released on bond. And this, and I guess this is possible. I mean, not possibly. It's definitely going to affect the future of Hogan Knows Best on VH1. They just filmed the fourth season before this went down, and there's talks of maybe bringing it back for a fifth season. But if they do that, there's no way they're going to be able to avoid all this stuff going down. And
so, was the production in hiatus when this accident happened?
Yeah, it was already done. I think they finished it a couple weeks before, because this went down the day of SummerSlam.
I bet VH1 is kicking themselves right now.
Yeah, and it's one of the bigwigs at VH1 kind of said that they haven't made a decision quite yet. But this doesn't, I mean, Nick is not being painted in a positive light, and he really shouldn't be. I mean, it's kind of hard to have sympathy for the guy when he was drinking under. And there's been footage before, too, you know, and I'm not trying to attack the guy, but it's, you know, there's been footage of him on TMZ.com, you know, years ago where he'd go out to lunch with his mom, and they would film him just peeling out of a restaurant parking lot, you know, and just being a very reckless driver and not being very responsible. And, you know, there comes a point, you know, where you kind of have to take a little responsibility for your kid and what he's doing, these brand-new cars, whatever, Supra, whatever he's driving. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, an accident had to happen, and, it's, you know, it's good he's okay, but now he's kind of paying the price for driving the way he did. And got to say, I don't have a lot of sympathy for him if he's been doing this for a long time.
No, and it would be a weird fifth season if they did bring the show back.
It would be. I mean, you know that vibe of that show. I mean, it's just, you know,
the whole concept of the series in the first place was supposed to be okay. Here's Hogan, the most popular wrestler in the world, trying to launch his daughter's music career.
Yeah.
Which obviously didn't happen.
No. They tried, but
they tried. But could it take another turn? Could season five be, okay, here's the whole premise of the season, is that here's the most popular wrestler in the world trying to keep his son out of prison.
Yeah, which is an interesting concept, and some people, and I know there was an article, I think it was with the St. Petersburg Times, and there were some people saying, you know, that would be, you know, intriguing, you know, for people to want to watch, you know, to see how they handle the situation, but maybe they don't want to air that out on television, but, because, you know, a lot of the show, if you watch it, you can tell it's very, very, very scripted, very planned. And it'd be interesting if they do go forth. But right now, I mean, it's, you know, it's not looking good for Nick.
No, absolutely not. Did you see the big CNN documentary last
Yes,
Wednesday?
I did. I saw the original airing. I didn't see the replays on the weekend that supposedly re-edited in Cena's comments where he said absolutely not. But I did see the first airing on last Wednesday.
Yeah, for those who don't know, John Cena did a media call on Thursday. He obviously did not like what was aired on CNN on Wednesday night during this documentary. They had asked John Cena if he had ever done steroids, and if you wanted to talk about steroids, John said he absolutely has not done steroids. And went on to give an explanation, basically, that if you don't want to believe somebody when they tell you that they haven't taken steroids, you're not going to believe them. There's no answer that's going to be, you know, acceptable if you don't want to believe it. So basically what they took a piece of that, and it basically ended up coming out on the air as CNN asking, have you ever taken steroids? And John Cena saying, basically, you can't prove that I have.
Yeah, you can't prove that I have, and you can't prove that I didn't, you know. And it, I understand what he was trying to say, and but the way that they chopped it and edited it into the video and the documentary, it basically gave you the impression that he was admitting to steroid use, but not outright saying yes or no.
Right.
And what he was trying to do, like you were saying earlier, what he was basically trying to say, you know, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, I can sit here and tell you I've never done steroids, but you're going to form your own opinion regardless.
Right.
And he was making sports analogies as well, too, you know, with football and basketball and people like that. But it was good that the WWE set up a camera nearby to catch everything, because you can literally see the way they chopped up his answer, because
right.
You can watch the video that WWE.com put up of first thing that came out of his mouth was, absolutely not, and he said this is just a ridiculous question, and then he goes on and does a spiel, but they completely edited that part out. But then when this hit the internet on a Thursday that he was upset, I had some people email me and tell me that in the replays that aired on Saturday and Sunday, they did add in the absolutely not comment to avoid probably slandering his character and defamation and all that wonderful stuff.
I believe they replayed it on Friday.
Did they replay it on Friday, too?
They replayed it on Friday in its original form. And then I believe it was the Saturday airing in which they added the absolutely not thing. But that's good of WWE, and they've been doing this for a number of years, ever since the whole Parents Television Council thing. When a network comes and interviews one of their stars, they independently film the interview so they won't be misquoted.
Yeah.
And this is the first time WWE has actually come out and said, okay, we're misquoted and here's what really happened. But they have been doing this for years.
I guess like Vince McMahon's way of, I guess one of the things he's always said is that he kind of always feels like the media is out to get them. And that's one of his ways to kind of protect himself a little bit in case they...
Right. With this whole thing with CNN, I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame it all either. I mean, you need to, especially right now of all times, you really need to. And it was good to see that some media entities, a lot of print I saw, people stepping up and saying, listen, CNN needs to apologize. And there's actually an article up on WWE.com right now where John Cena kind of says, I'm still waiting for my apology from CNN. And even though they went back in and added it in, they still probably do owe him an apology. Because I guess one of the... one of the main reporters, the guy that interviewed Vince and Linda and did the report, he went on some radio show, and I saw a recap of it. And his line was that, he never gave us a yes or a no, but he made those comments before all this stuff came out, so it kind of made him look stupid.
Nah.
And I don't know, this is just another example, Doc, of how the media is, because a lot of people know this about me. I'm going to school for this right now, for journalism, and this scares me to death,
Right.
For being in the position I'm in, where I don't feel like I need to protect the wrestling business, but it scares me when this is the industry I'm trying to get into, and I see what they're doing, and they can skew it any way they want just to, make it much more powerful. And it's good that the WWE does set up another camera and
get to do that. You see this a lot with some of the wrestling websites out there and stuff with misleading headlines to basically get your clicks and things like that. And at WWE. TNA, they're fully aware of this thing, and a lot of people wonder, oh, okay, Doc, how come you never had Hulk Hogan on the show? How come you never had John Cena on the show? This is why. They don't trust us.
Yeah.
They don't trust the media.
I don't blame them at all either. I mean, it's not like, not everybody has horrible intentions, but,
right.
You know.
So, basically, you got to prove yourself, I guess. And WWE doesn't have time to pick and choose. Who's a credible and who's not. So everyone's locked out.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it sucks, too, if they decide not to give an interview to CNN, then CNN can go, well, we tried to contact Vince McMahon and the WWE, but they opted not to comment, which makes you look guilty by not commenting to them.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like a double-edged sword for them. Like, it's, damned if they do, damned if they don't. I mean, they're going to have to show up regardless to at least defend themselves. And they really went after that, analogy of with the research with Christopher Nowinski's agency, where he looks at concussions, and when they analyzed Chris Benoit's brain and how Benoit's brain was the equivalent of an 87-year-old Alzheimer's patient, and Vince McMahon was very hesitant to take in the facts and said, if that's true, then how was Benoit functioning in real life? How was he making it from the house to the airport? How was he calling, you know, doing matches and promos?
That's a good question.
It was an interesting doc, and I with the exception of the John Cena thing, I did think the documentary was very well done, and it's definitely a must-see for any wrestling fan, and even someone who's not into wrestling who kind of heard about it and wants to see it, it's worth watching. But as a wrestling fan, you know, we're going to look at it a little differently than somebody else, but
right.
it was definitely pretty good with the exception of the John Cena stuff.
And a lot of the people who saw the CNN documentary don't watch wrestling. They're not even casual fans. Mm-hmm. They're news fans and they're tabloid fans, I guess, if you want to say.
Very true.
So a lot of them aren't going to see the fact that John Cena was misquoted. And they'll never hear this story.
Yeah.
And that's
the worst part about it, yeah.
And that's another black eye for WWE. And I do feel for them in this situation. Guys, we're going to take a break right now. We got to get Stasiak on here, man. Adam?
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's get your questions ready for Sean Stasiak. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back to Stasiak and just get right into the questions. So have your questions ready. Come on into the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com and click on the chat link and have your questions ready. You're listening to Doc Young and Adam Martin, the webmaster of WrestleView.com. Here on Wrestling Weekly, we'll be right back after this.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin Draven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
Information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop Stop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Adam Martin here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Adam filling in for the sick Les Thatcher tonight.
You want to clarify that he's actually sick with poison, not just sick in the head, though.
Everybody who listens to this show already knows Les is sick in the head.
He's not sick in the head.
This is the special Les is Away Let's Play edition of Wrestling Weekly tonight. Now I finally get my revenge, because Les never listens to these shows, so.
Oh, that's true, yeah, because I was kind of wondering if he does or not, because you just completely trash him and then be like, hey, what's up, Les? You
know, yeah, I could. No, people would actually probably email him. They'd be like, they were talking about you, Les.
They were trashing you last night.
Snitches out there. Yeah. But, guys, we did call Sean's number, Sean Stasiak's number, and he didn't answer. So we're going to try him again in just a little bit here. But we're going to continue on with the news, so hopefully Sean will be with us. But we did speak with Daivari right before the broadcast started, and Daivari will be here. He is anxious and ready.
Nice.
Yes. Did you see Raw last night?
Yes, I did. Did you see Raw?
It was a decent episode, but
kind of lackluster after last. Although the big. Promise is that next Monday we're gonna finally find out who this person is that we already know with the Save Us promos.
We're gonna find out who Chris Jericho is.
Yeah, we're gonna find out who Chris Jericho is.
And I think this is a really weird thing. Of course, if you didn't see Raw last night, the clip basically had a code. You know, break the code and
break the walls down, stuff like that.
You know, and had this little, I guess, equation. Then it had a countdown, and then you know, it just basically came out and said next Monday. Okay. Chris Jericho's coming back next Monday. Why Monday? Why not the pay-per-view?
Well, I know that the USA was getting a little nervous about some of the ratings in the last couple months. They were dipping quite low. And it actually might be a smarter business move to put it on television instead of pay-per-view. Because if you think about it, I mean, Survivor Series is one of the big four, but it's not going to have the same viewership that, you know, Monday Night Raw has every week. So I know that USA did contact them and tell them that if you do end up doing this, you know, save it for TV, don't put it on pay-per-view. So I actually don't mind it not being on pay-per-view, because they're probably going to push it even more that night as well on Sunday. But that's, from what I was told, that's one of the reasons why they wanted to put it on television. And more people are going to see it anyway, so you might as well just do it on TV anyways, you know.
I think that's completely ridiculous. And we've been talking about this on the show for the last few weeks, that I understand that USA wants ratings. But also, WWE needs to, I guess, it goes back to the whole thing where something's not special if it happens all the time. If something special happens every week, it's not special. And you'll remember this from Nitro, when every Nitro was the greatest night in the history of the sport. That gets boring and stupid, and a lot of people don't want to watch that. WWE needs to sell pay-per-views. And you can't sell pay-per-views when you're giving all your stuff away for free on TV. It's this conflict of interest between the networks and in wrestling. The networks, all they have to do is sell airtime. That's all they do. The wrestlers, they have to sell tickets to shows. They have to definitely sell pay-per-views. And when you're giving this stuff away on TV, now, why order Survivor Series? Why? So you could
see
another...
you really don't have any incentive to get the pay-per-view on Sunday if you know he's going to be back on Monday.
Right.
Know?
It's just, it's ridiculous to me. And I figured with Vince, you know, I guess what they're saying is that, you know, he threw Bonnie Hammer a bone. Bonnie Hammer, of course, the head of the USA Network, by having the D-Generation X reunite last week for one night. Now, I figured that was McMahon saying, okay, here's something cool. Now we're going to keep Jericho for the pay-per-view. You get something, we get something.
But no, supposedly they're going to give them both away on TV for free.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And we all know Les's opinion on this. He wanted to send some wrestlers over there to start running the USA Network. Because, you know, it kind of tell them that they shouldn't belong in wrestling. Wrestlers shouldn't belong running networks.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of I understand both sides of the story in that they want you should want to promote something like this because you want to sell pay-per-views, you want to do a good buy rate. It's probably one of the weakest Survivor Series cards I can remember in the last couple of years.
It's pretty weak.
It's very weak. I mean,
Kali versus Hornswoggle.
Well, yeah, Kali and Hornswoggle. Yeah, no one wants to see that. Batista and Undertaker is intriguing. I got to say, these guys have had phenomenal matches this year together. That has to be one of the, if you're going to nominate a feud of the year, that has to be up in the top five just because of the level of the matches they've had. I've been pleasantly surprised by every man. They change it up. They make it different, and I've really enjoyed that. And you know, Randy and Shawn Michaels, that has, you know, some interest. You know, the stipulation, some people aren't fans of the stipulation where, you know, he can't use a super kick and Orton can't intentionally disqualify himself. But it does add a little intrigue.
It's dumb.
I guess if you're going to have something, at least there's a stipulation instead of just having a WWE title match, which is nice. They can at least add a little something in. But working your way down the card, I mean, you got the elimination matches that don't really mean much at the end of the day. Divas match, I did find out today that they are going to add a World Tag Team title match to the card. I guess they taped a special WWE.com exclusive match with the Highlanders, Paul London, Brian Kendrick, and Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes, and the winner of that match was going to face Trevor Murdoch and Lance Cade at pay-per-view for the tag titles. And I haven't received any live reports from Raw last night, so I have no idea who won that match, but they'll put it up on the internet on WWE.com on Thursday. But, you know, you have the CM Punk, Miz, John Morrison, that's kind of, you know, you don't watch ECW, you probably don't care. And it's just a very, very weak, I'm surprised at how weak this card is, considering this is one of your big four. You know?
And definitely, if you brought Jericho back, buys.
That can make up for it, yeah.
There would have been a lot more buys.
I don't see it's escaping me what the buy rate they did last year, but I don't see how this year's could do any better.
Instead, they're going to, now the DX show. A couple of weeks ago, popped a good rating.
Yes, that was last Monday. That did a 3.8. They did a 3.5 last night, so they did see quite a significant drop in viewership last night.
Exactly, and all they're going to do with this Chris Jericho thing is pop another 1 week rating for the USA Network, which does no good long term.
Yeah.
For WWE, they don't even get anything out of it. The rates aren't being raised. The advertising rates aren't being raised for this.
They don't even have advertising rights with their deal with USA. That was one of the big downfalls when they went back to USA when they signed with NBC Universal, was that they don't have control of their advertising anymore. It's all USA, and that was a huge, huge loss for them, and they were going to have to make up for that with their online department and make more money that way, which is something they didn't really focus on too much before, and they really vamped that up. If you go to WWE.com, you have to sit through ads and ads and ads for every video you want to watch, so...
It's just the whole thing's ridiculous. It makes me angry. But enough about that. Let's go on with the TNA Genesis pay-per-view on Sunday. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. I watch all the pay-per-views. So
this is
It wasn't nearly at the level of a Bound for Glory, because I thought Bound for Glory was a really good show. And it's weird because, there's been debates and discussions about how bad TV is and then how good their pay-per-views can be.
Right.
And the pay-per-view, it wasn't, it wasn't horrible. I mean, there was some shows when you go to your usual websites, you're going to automatically know who's going to hate TNA right away. And if you can accept it, because if you look at the card itself, was booked very nicely. They had some intriguing matches. I thought the Team 3D Motor City Machine Guns match was really, really good. I wasn't a fan of opening the pay-per-view with Abyss and Black Reign, and they had, I'm really sick of Abyss being booked in every gimmick match they can think of in TNA.
I know, that's Just because he's a gimmick doesn't
That's, the thing. It's like, yeah, he's a gimmick, but he doesn't have to be put in those situations all the time. And they did debut Johnny Stamboli under his Red Rum character, which I guess it has a new called Relic. That's what he's going to be called. And it looks very much like the Great Muta Mask. It's just it's red, and he spits out blood. And it's actually a pretty impressive-looking gimmick, but it's just somebody they're sticking with. You know, Dustin Rhodes. He looks like Dusty now. He gained a lot of weight, but
yeah,
it's just somebody else they're sticking with him because they have Judas Macias still out with an injury. Although I did hear he wrestled in Mexico recently, so I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah,
but that kind of blew up in their face when they had.
I wouldn't say Genesis was a bad pay per view. It was okay.
It was okay, and it was good to see Booker T. You know, and he got a really good reaction, and that's always exciting. They really melt his and. They just sat there for a good minute milking his entrance, which was I mean, we kind of knew it was going to be him all along, but it was kind of nice to.
Yeah, especially if you watch YouTube, there was this whole weird.
Yeah.
TNA spoiler puzzle, sort of a WWE break the code ripoff.
It was very WWE.
But if you watch, and a lot of people haven't seen this, so this is really cool. If you go to YouTube.com. There was a clip of Scott Hall. This is by the TNA wrestling guys, by the way. There's a clip of Scott Hall and his appearance on TNA when he said that he wasn't Sting's partner and blah, blah, blah. And then you see Sting come out. And TNA says, you know, who is Sting's partner? And for a second, it was a backwards web address appeared on the screen for a second.
Yeah.
Now, if you go ahead and spelled it backwards and you figured out the address, you go to the address, and there is a jigsaw puzzle there. When you put the jigsaw puzzle together, it's a drawing of a wall with graffiti on it. Now, the graffiti has words spelled backwards on them. Pay-per-view, Genesis, November, Borden. But it says Huffman, which is, of course, Booker T's real last name.
Yeah.
This came out, I believe, Thursday.
Yeah, it came out Thursday night, Friday afternoon.
So if you broke the code, then you would obviously have known that it would have been Booker T. And really, I didn't really know it was going to be Booker T. I had a feeling. Les was pretty sure it was going to be. But I wasn't sure, so.
Yeah, because they usually do a pretty good job of keeping stuff like that, you know, quiet and secret. And
yeah, but at least TNA, and I'll give TNA this, when they put the code out, you obviously know the answer if you can figure it out. Now, WWE has put codes in their Save Us promos that were just completely false, such as certain dates and things like that, which kind of makes me think, you know, is this a ploy? Are they going to debut Jericho at Survivor Series? Because they
It could be another hint to another code on Monday.
Because they flat out lied before.
Yeah, they have.
Are they flat out lying again, and they're going to debut him on the Survivor Series? And if they do, that's really stupid. Because all of a sudden, a lot of people had not bought this pay-per-view that would have bought it if you would have just told them Jericho was there. So if that's your plan, WWE, you're dumb.
You're
dumb.
Stupid, as Santino Morella was calling Jerry Lawler last
right.
week. Right. Stupid,
it's just stupid, and I can see the thinking, even if, you know, yeah, they won't order this pay-per-view, but they'll know to order pay-per-views in the future because you'll never know what'll happen. No,
I mean, it could be one of those shows where it gets saved by a good, and I'm wondering how they're going to end the show. I mean, are they going to end it with, you know, Batista, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell? I mean, that's such a huge stipulation that it's so hard to do that and then do, you know, Randy Orton, Shawn Michaels. I mean, I know that's a big feud too, but, you know, look at the way they started Raw, look at the emphasis they put on it. I know that, you know, Randy and Shawn had the big feud, but, you know, they ended last month's pay-per-view with, you know, Batista, Undertaker, Cyber Sunday, you know, so
yeah,
they could do it again with Hell in a Cell. I mean, I've thought Randy and, you know, Randy Orton and Shawn Michaels work together a lot in 2003 and 2004. I mean, it seemed like every week on Raw it was Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, or some tag team combination. And it seems like Shawn was one of the guys that really brought up his game. But I don't know how they're going to do it. But, you know, matches like that can save a show. But, yeah, I do agree that, you know, it's it's unfortunate, but that's the way that they're going to take it, and they're going to keep it for television and just try to pop a rating. But you can't. It's easy to pop a rating, but it's harder to keep that rating and keep it consistent every week, and you know, not just bring it up. And although it's nice to see the audience hasn't completely tuned out the way it did the first couple weeks when John Cena got injured. I mean, it just seemed like they couldn't do anything to bring the audience back, and now it's kind of stabilized a little bit.
Right. Let's go over the pay-per-view prediction game from last week. I probably won, because I usually do. But this time, you know, I won't get to rub it in Les's face because he is not here. So, Abyss defeated Black Reign, of course, in a Shop of Horrors match. I'm surprised there wasn't a big plant, talking plant, in that match. Les and I had went with Abyss, so we got a point each for that. The Motor City Machine Guns defeated Team 3D. Les had went with Team 3D on this one, and I went with Motor City Machine Guns, yes.
Good pick. A lot of people were surprised that they did get the win, so that was nice.
I knew there had to be a couple of surprises in there, and I figured that was the one it's going to be. I mean, because Team 3D has just been... In their matches, I mean, they've just been dominating and winning easily. I mean, it's not even, like, compelling feuds anymore.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it's just usually a given that they're going to win, and they've gotten the steam built up, and their Team 3D. So this was a good idea, I think, for TNA to give Motor City Machine Guns the win. They do need it. And, you know, try to bring some fresh, you know, talent to the forefront. Gail Kim retained the TNA Knockout Women's Championship.
Have they decided if they're going to call that the TNA Knockout Championship or the TNA Women's Championship?
I think it's the TNA Knockout Women's Championship is what
okay.
It's going to be called.
That's a long name.
Yeah. Les and I almost said Doc again. Les and I both went with Gail Kim on this one, and I really couldn't see it going any other way.
Yeah, it was kind of a, you know, delay in the inevitable till they do Gail Kim and Awesome Kong, so.
Yeah. Black Machismo, Jay Lethal retained the X Division championship over Sanjay Dutt, who's now the Guru. This was a match that wasn't announced yet, so we didn't have any points on this one.
Yeah, they announced that I think they announced it just before the pay-per-view, so it was something that, I thought it was supposed to be Elex Skipper, and that was a random, even putting him in there with Sanjay, that was kind of random, too. They didn't really explain it very much, but
yeah.
it was a very, very good match, and they continued the love saga of Jay Lethal trying to make SoCal Val his new Miss Elizabeth. So
I think they've pretty much given up on trying to push the X Division really up there anymore, and now it's just become sort of like the Cruiserweight Division
and it's such a shame, too. I mean, they are kind of bringing it a little more attention with the Team 3D thing taking, you know, the title. Cause basically, at the paper, what they did was during this match, Team 3D came out, attacked Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt, and they took the X Division title hostage, and they're going to play off that on Thursday on Impact, which is an intriguing storyline.
Right.
But a lot of people just don't like the storyline in general. But I got an advanced copy of the TNA Year One DVD, and one of the things they really, like, there's a whole section of the documentary dedicated to just how the X Division guys were able to, you know, show off their stuff, and they helped build the company and really bring in attention. And then it's like you fast forward to now, and it's still there, but it's not where it was, you know, a couple years ago, and it's kind of sad. But maybe this is gonna be the start of something. Don't know yet, but I'm hoping it's gonna bring in a little more attention. And I actually don't mind the storyline very much. I know some people just hate it. I'm just glad they're doing something with the X Division for once. And
yeah, AJ Styles and Tomko retain the TNA World Tag Team Championship against the Steiner Brothers. Another match that wasn't announced yet. Samoa Joe defeated Robert Roode. Les and I had both went with Robert Roode on this one. Figured Robert
really?
Roode really needed this win, and it was a good match, though, I think.
Yeah, very good match, and they had a little bit of a... And I'm still trying to figure out what exactly happened, but...
Unfortunately, Samoa Joe, is put in this good match with Robert Roode. They're both good wrestlers, but... I hated the storyline.
I didn't really like
it.
I mean, I liked what they did on Impact, where he busted him open and made him bleed, and they really played off that in the promo, where he said, you know, I made you bleed, and now I'm going to, you know, beat you tonight. And, You know, it's unfortunate because if you read the spoilers for this Thursday, they're going in a completely different direction with Robert Roode and Samoa Joe.
Right.
Which it was just kind of like a transitional pay-per-view match. They just needed something to do with Robert Roode and something to do with Samoa Joe. And if anything, the highlight of the match was Tracy Brooks, I guess, passing out at ringside. I heard one person tell me that she got accidentally hit by a cameraman, and that's what knocked her out. But it was just really confusing reports of either she just completely passed out because she was overheated or whatever it was, but. That was something that was going on and kind of distracting the wrestlers a little bit, and they didn't really know what was going on. But they do have this whole storyline with Robert Roode and that chick in the audience, who's her name's Rain, I think, from Shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to do that. So they did elaborate on that at the taping. So they are still doing stuff with Robert Roode and Tracy Brooks and stuff like that. But it just kind of seemed like a random place to, or just somewhere they just needed to stick Samoa Joe just to have him on the pay per view.
Right. Kaz defeated Christian Cage in the Fight for the Right tournament final. That was kind of a surprise, but it was one of the matches where, at that point, we didn't really know who it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know yet until they did what they did on TV.
But
very,
it was...
very, very good match, though. The only thing is they had another problem with the... TNA always seems to run into these problems on live TV, but they had a clipboard hanging up with a contract, and the contract fell off the clipboard and was just sitting in the ring, and they announced later that... what they had to do was actually just get the clipboard to win the match, but
right.
it was a very good match, and it proved that Kaz is ready to be up there with these main event guys. Unfortunately, he's not going to get his title shot on pay-per-view. He gets his title shot this Thursday on Impact, and they kind of did it with a quick turnaround. So it kind of feels like the tournament was kind of pointless to begin with when they just did the title shot on TV instead of pay-per-view.
Right. And Kurt Angle and Kevin Nash retained the World Heavyweight Championship in the tag for the title main event. It was Kurt Angle and Nash against Sting and Booker T. Sting ended up being the one pinned on this one. We had both went with Kurt Angle on this one. So that's 4-3 that I prevail over Les in the pay-per-view prediction game.
I'm sure you love that, too. You
know, yeah. Wonder how you guys did at home. Of course, before Survivor Series, we're going to do another one of these. But yeah, you had said earlier about Tracy Brooks. She had passed out during the Samoa Joe Robert Roode match. And there are conflicting reports. Most of the major websites say that she had passed out from exhaustion.
Yeah.
There was a couple of people. Like I saw one report in particular that said that she was hit by this cameraman. Then I saw another report that said the camera missed her. And it almost hit her, but it didn't, and it had nothing to do with it, and whoever saw that got a bad angle or something like that. But
that's what I was wondering, because I had somebody send me a report yesterday about that, and I was just like, you know, I mean, you were live, you saw it, but
right.
It wasn't even caught on camera, so we have no idea, and I guess the assumption. But and she was actually wrestling at the tapings last night, so she's fine, but it's just kind of one of those weird freak accidents that go down.
Right. What we're going to do, guys, is we're going to take a break. We're going to try Sean Stasiak again. See if we can't get him on the line. If we do get him, we're going to, of course, conduct the interview with Sean Stasiak. If we don't, we are going to play Ask the Host. So if you have any questions for us, go ahead and get them ready. And we will we'll come back after this. Come on into the chat room right now, WrestlingWeekly.com, and click on the chat link. And... we will get to your questions, either for us or for Stasiak. It's going to happen right after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Adam Martin from WrestleView.com filling in for Les Thatcher tonight. It's Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed.
I
That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
Doc Young and Adam Martin from WrestleView.com back with you on Wrestling Weekly here. I missed our cue, Adam.
Nice.
Our music cue, it just went right through, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, okay, we're coming back. And then I almost missed it a second time. Not a good day.
What is one of those nights? It's all right, though.
We don't have Sean Stasiak, guys, but we are going to take questions from the chat room. If you have any questions for myself, or Adam Martin here at WrestleView.com. You want to ask Adam a little bit about his life? Well, you said earlier that you do referee.
I did it a couple times. That was just with Trey and JSK from Wrestling News Live, and that was interesting. I was in an indie show in Branson, Missouri. It was in like a theater. It was like a bar slash theater, and I went down there to meet them for the first time, and it just so happened that they were doing an indie show, and Chris Harris was on the card. The Naturals were on the card. Ryan Wilson was on the card, but he was playing his Lord Humongous gimmick, where he just has this big black mask on. He looks like a medieval guy that, you know, that kills people. And I don't know what the exact term is for that person. The person who is the person who kills people in the medieval times. And there was a few other people too. Tracy Smothers was on the card, obviously, and I was trying to think if somebody else was supposed to. Cody Rhodes was actually supposed to be at that show, and he had to back out for some reason. But it was just kind of a weird group of people. Some people I had no idea who they were. It was right when TNA started up, so I knew who Chris was. I knew who the Naturals were, and I knew obviously who Tracy was, and you know a few other people. But I got to referee the first taping that they did, and then I outright refused to do the second one because I was so tired. They had me referee. Usually you get like a break, you know, on indie shows, but I was refereeing back-to-back-to-back matches. I think I refereed like six or seven matches in a row, and I was just dead.
Wow.
by the seventh one. I was complete. And that was when I was, that was in 2003 when I was consistently working out, doing cardio. I felt like I was in great shape. I was like, oh, I could do this. And oh boy, I was dead. By the fourth match, I was just dead. So that was pretty, it was a good experience, but I begged Trey to get in there and do the second taping, and he did it, thankfully, so.
There's actually a guy who just came into the chat room right now. His name is Adam Martin Fan. Isn't that crazy?
Really?
You have a fan.
I didn't know I had any fans. So
that's one more than I have.
There you go.
Y2J for Life has a question. He says, in your opinion, what is WWE doing with Kane? He's still one of the most liked superstars, has had an extremely long tenure with WWE, yet still only has one world title reign for one day. What gives?
Well, I would see him as a guy that helps the younger wrestlers get ready. And I see nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't think they've always treated him in a good fashion. They've always, you know, he's had, just because he's only won the world title once doesn't mean he's not had other titles. He's had tag title runs and, you know, stuff like that. But I don't think, you know, a world title makes you or breaks you in the wrestling industry, and especially in the WWE, and he makes very good money. He's always working with newer talent that they're bringing to the rosters, and I think that he's one of those guys that if you can work with Kane, you can work with a lot of other people too. And I think that's what kind of the role that he's been put in the last couple of years, and I don't really see it as a bad role. It's just he's somebody that we're familiar with as a character. We know how he's going to perform, and you can stick him in there with newer guys, and you can see how they hang with Kane, and I think that's a good test.
Right. My thing is, and I've learned this from Les, is a lot of people in the business don't like putting world title belts on what they would call a gimmick character. And Kane is a gimmick character. Now, a lot of people are going to say The Undertaker is a gimmick character, too, which he is. But The Undertaker's more the exception than the rule. I can see Kane probably getting one more shot at the title, at least, before he retires. But when it comes all down to it, like Adam had said, Kane has had a lot of titles in his career. But I think what he's most grateful for at this point is that as a gimmick character who was just supposed to feud with The Undertaker and be, you know, this gimmick and this character to get The Undertaker over, he's had a career for 10 long years, many titles, and a lot of moolah. And I think that he'd be more grateful for that right now.
Oh, yeah. That's ultimately what you want. You don't really, belts don't mean anything. I mean, if you're financially set for life, I mean, that's the most important thing.
Right. And a lot of people, casual fans, too, they pretty much think this way. You know, if you don't have, if you weren't one of the world champions or something like that, you're not a good wrestler, which is not true. Some of the best wrestlers out there are jobbers, because they know how to wrestle and they know how to make the other guy look good. Al Snow was a jobber for a long time, and he's an incredible wrestler. You know, things like that. There's a lot of instances in that. So the belts, you know, it means that, okay, you're high profile, you got popularity, you're probably going to make more money and things like that. But as far as job security and stuff like that, you don't really need it for that. Val Venus is a really good wrestler who rarely ever wins, but has been working steadily for a long time and has made a lot of money. And I'm sure if he was here, he would say, you know, I'm happy for that. Would he like to have the world title? Sure. Who wouldn't want to have, you know, who wouldn't want to be the champion? It's not always necessary. Weebo says, I want to know if you guys know how Edge is going to be involved at the Survivor Series. This I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird because they started putting him in the promotion for it, and they've done this before, though, like where Rey Mysterio was on the promotions for the Great American Bash, and he didn't come back till the following month at SummerSlam. And I guess we just kind of assume, since he's all over the advertising for it, you know, and the posters and the videos, that he would be showing up. And it's still possible he could show up. I believe he's been medically cleared at this point. I mean, if he hasn't, he's close to.
Right.
And I don't know if he's going to be showing up at the Survivor Series. It could be a little surprise they have in store. But you have to think about where the situation was when he went out, when he was world champion. And you've got to think that he's going to get back involved with that situation, or want to, or that's the storyline idea. But he could get involved in the Hell in a Cell match. I know that's usually you can't, but that's the whole purpose of the match. But you never know. I mean, but they've done this before in the past, where someone was all over advertising and they weren't even on the pay-per-view. But, you know, we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't hold your breath, you know, at this point.
All right. You're listening to Doc Young and Adam Martin from WrestleView.com. He's filling in for Les Thatcher tonight. It's Wrestling Weekly. We're taking live questions right now from the chat room. Join us at WrestlingWeekly.com. Click on the chat link and come on in. The Metal says, Doc, have you ever played the new Raw versus SmackDown 2008, and what do you think of it? I haven't played it yet. I had played 2007. Just played it. I never bought it or anything like that because I didn't like it. I didn't like Raw versus SmackDown, the original, either. Because these games that they're coming out with now don't have any replay value. You play the game, and you go through, you know, the season or the career mode or whatever, and after that, unless you got friends that you want to, you know, play two players with, the games are pretty much useless after that. You've pretty much seen everything you're going to see. So I didn't like the Raw versus SmackDown series at all. I think the best wrestling game in that genre is Here Comes the Pain. SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain. Because that has so much replay value. And it's the only game, it's the only wrestling game I still have. I've gotten rid of all the other ones. And I still do play it because you can update it. You can make roster changes. You can make a new guy and throw him in, throw him on a roster, and he'll show up during career mode here and there, which is really cool, which all the other games don't do that. And they don't do that anymore because they want you to buy a new Raw versus SmackDown every year. Do you agree with me on this, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, I fully admit to being into wrestling games a lot more a couple years ago, not so much lately, mainly because I didn't really buy any of the new systems. I bought a 360 finally. I caved in and bought a 360. And the nice thing about the 360 is that you can download demos of games, and I do have the demo up of the latest game. And I did play it. Graphically, it's very impressive, but I'm still not just I don't know, I'm just not a huge fan of the grappling system. I know they have kind of a new system in this one with submission, but your comments about it not having, you know, replay, you know, the factor of, you know just being able to go back and play it again and play it again, it makes a lot of sense, because I've heard a lot of people just say, you know, like last year's game, they bought it, they beat it in career mode, and then they're just like, you know, I don't really want to play this anymore, and then it just ends up collecting dust and sitting there for another year until the next game comes out. And I thought they were going to come up with some new concepts, and I don't know if I haven't really looked too much into it. I'm not a huge gamer, but
I think that concept is by design. They want.
It is. Yeah, you're right. It has to be by design. I mean, you would think they would want to come up with stuff where you'd want to play it, but then if that's the case, then maybe you won't want to get the next. But it's kind of like Madden. I mean, Madden, a whole lot of stuff with Madden doesn't change every year, but people still go out every year and buy it.
Right.
And this game is usually, I mean, this series has always been very successful. I think that the real test is going to be to see how the TNA video game, you know, performs up against SmackDown versus Raw, even though that game's coming out next year. It'll be interesting to see because they have a lot of interesting new aspects to that game that a lot of these THQ games don't have. So I think that's going to be, I think it'll be fun to have, you know, that TNA game coming out along with the next Raw SmackDown game and kind of competing and seeing what sells more. And because I think, regardless of if you watch TNA or not, if you're a gamer, you're going to want to check out a new wrestling game,
right?
And see what it's like. And if you're going to see familiar faces like Kurt Angle and Sting and people you couldn't really be Sting in any of these WWE games unless you created him. So, with the exception of some of the WCW games, which were I vividly remember playing WCW Mayhem and just wondering how this got produced. It was so bad, but. There's been their fair share of bad, you know, WWE games too, but I don't know. I mean, I've only played the demo a little bit, so I haven't really. You can only be a few people, but I do agree with the replayability is just, it's not there. You know, if you just beat it really fast and just like, you know, it's just gonna sit there for a year after you beat it. You know.
Yeah. The Metal says that he says I'm listening to Wrestling Weekly on my PSP. What do you think about that?
That's cool. That's cool because you do have wireless internet with the PSP. So
I think the only thing cooler than that would be if there was an actual Wrestling Weekly game and you were playing as Doc Young right now. That would be the only thing cooler.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher in a steel cage match would be awesome.
That would be cool. It would. It's a radio show, and I'm not a wrestler, so it would have to be a Wrestling Weekly game. Would have to be something like I don't know.
Who can produce the best?
something like that, some kind of mini games.
Correctly, or
and if you mess up, you know, Les yells at you.
Yes,
and
that would be great. I'd love for you to yell at me.
All you guys who make Flash games, man, you know what kind of game to make, and we'll put it on the website.
That would be great, especially the less yelling at you part would be great.
Yeah, you could just use audio from any episode of Wrestling Weekly as the game thing. That would be pretty cool. Question for Adam. Adam Martin fan says, what have you been up to since Wrestling News Live ended?
I've been doing another show called, and I'm still trying to figure out who that is. It has to be somebody messing with me, I'm convinced, because there's no way I have a fan. I've been doing a show called Punishment Radio on tpsradio.net, and it stands for the People Sports Radio Network. And we were actually on that network with Wrestling News Live for a few months there. And it's basically a show, covers everything in mixed martial arts, UFC, Elite XC, you know, any type of organization that's MMA-related that's on the national scale. HDNet Fight, the one that Mark Cuban's been promoting recently. But a majority of the topics are going to be more focused on the UFC, because they're kind of the big dog. But I've been doing that show with my brother. My brother's a huge MMA fan, and I convinced him to sit down every Wednesday night for an hour with me and do a show about MMA. And it's been really fun, and you can, if you guys want to check it out, just head it over to punishmentradio.com, and you can listen to some of the past shows. And we plan on booking some guests for once. I was kind of hesitant to book some MMA guys on there because they've been kind of strict lately, but been talking to a few people. We're going to have Joe Rogan on the show, who does commentary for UFC. Want to get Mike Goldberg on. He does commentary for the UFC, too. Did talk to Matt Serra, who's the current UFC welterweight champion. He's going to be defending his title against Matt Hughes in December, so we want to get him on. So got some big things coming up, but I've been kind of just doing that show, and I've been still running WrestleView, and WrestleView is going to have a big design relaunch in the next 2 weeks here, so we're looking forward to that one.
Cool. Yeah, check that out, Punishment Radio, guys. Johnny Deformed says, question, if you could banish one person in wrestling to nether worlds, never to return, who would it be?
Wow, that was just, I know this wasn't in the question, but would this person have to be active at the moment, or...
I would say, yeah. Let's do an active one. I'm going to let you go first because I already know mine.
You already know yours?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking. I honestly...
Well, I'll go first then.
You go first. Maybe it'll pique my interest here.
I would be happy to never see Khali Russell again. It wouldn't bother me one bit if I never saw that man in a match again. No, I don't know Khali. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I don't want to see him wrestle. Netherworld, son. Go.
Yeah, but nobody wants to see him wrestle, though. I mean, I don't think people hate the character. Like, I don't really hate the character. I mean, it's an impressive character, but you know,
it's not so much the character. It's his matches.
Like if he was off television, like we probably wouldn't make a difference to you, right?
Right. Okay. His matches are boring. I don't like them. Have you come up with one?
I'm trying to think really hard because I mean there's people that I just don't prefer. Like I don't really prefer Jeff Hardy, but I think he's a very good wrestler, very entertaining in the ring. Oh man, this is a tough question because I mean you're thinking about everybody that you see every week.
Yeah, you're thinking of you're trying to come up with the most PC answer.
I'm trying not to insult anybody, you know, because you don't want to insult somebody and be like, oh, they don't want to see me on television. That's so mean. But
I don't think they really care, to be honest. Like, if Khali heard that Doc Young didn't want to see him match, he'd just be like, so.
I think
so
everybody
what?
Plays. Yeah, so what? I think everybody plays a role somewhat. For some reason, I'm just putting my focus on TNA right now. I don't know why. Because there's. I can't really think of anybody in WWE that I just hate with a passion. And in TNA, this might be mean to say,
mm-hmm.
but I really could care less if I ever see BKM ever again.
Voodoo Ken Mafia.
I don't hate BG James. I don't hate Kip James. I've always thought BG was great on the mic, very entertaining. I always thought Kip was great in the ring. But their purpose to me on television is just irrelevant at this point, and they need to do something. It was nice to see them kind of reinvent themselves with the VKM stuff, but a lot of people didn't like that, and I was actually a supporter of it at first, and then I kind of saw where it was going, and I was like, oh, you know.
A lot of people are tired of BG and Kip.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I don't know why, they don't like Kip. I love Kip.
I think he's a nice guy. I mean, every time I met him, he was just,
in a manly way, Kip's my homie. I like Kip, and I like talking to him.
Yeah, and I like talking, and that's the thing, I don't want to say this like as an end, but it's really not his fault, and it's not their fault. I mean, that's just the situation they're in right now.
Yeah.
But they just seem very irrelevant when they come out on television. You
and
know?
BG just has so much charisma, and
yeah,
he is just so great to talk to. So, like, while everybody else is like, oh, VKM again, oh, the New Age Outlaw, blah, blah, I love it. Every time I see him, I mark out. I still do. And
I just wish they were in a different position with TNA, because it took so long for them to come back and reunite as a team in TNA. They teased that for so long.
Yeah.
And then it finally happened. And then
that was back when they used to build to things.
Yeah, now
which
they
which was really cool.
That was the old concept in TNA.
Yeah, but hey, tag teams get stale, they die out.
Yeah.
You know, people get tired of seeing the same faces all the time and stuff, but just because, you know, and I'm biased, of course, because, you know, I've personally, you know, had conversations with both of them multiple times, and those are a couple guys I mark out for.
Yeah, and I still think they're good at what they do. I just, when I see them on TNA, it's just like,
here we go.
Yeah. It just seems like they should be there, but maybe, I think the problem is that if I see them, I don't care, and if I don't see them, I don't care, and that's a problem. I should want to see them.
Right.
And lately, I just don't really care, and I hope something changes in that department for TNA and BKM.
The Metal says, Doc, will there be any more Wrestling Weekly wrestling promotions? I'm going to go ahead and officially say maybe.
Really?
And that's all I'm going to say for now.
Ah, it's a little tease there.
Little tease. Choose Death says, who is your favorite early 90s WWF jobber?
Oh, boy.
You know who I liked? I really liked Gilbert when he was a jobber. Dwayne Gill.
Yeah, because they used him an awful lot.
Yeah, he was good enhancement talent. And the Brooklyn Brawler, of course.
I always liked the Brawler. I don't know what it was. Like, and I know he's always been considered like the jobber, but the Brawler was always just entertaining, no matter what. And yeah, I'm gonna say the Brawler. I'm like, because I can think of my favorite early 90s wrestler, but I can always... That's a nice twist on the question there, is the guys that were always on television jobbing everybody. But the Brawler was very good, very entertaining.
Somebody asked, and I think it was Wrestholt who asked. It wasn't a wrestling question, but I think he asked what your favorite restaurant was and what music groups do you like, which I think, you know, a little personal stuff can be thrown in with wrestling on a wrestling show.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, do you want to go for this one?
Oh, he wanted to know yours.
Oh, he wanted to know mine.
Yeah.
Oh, because I just thought it was a two-way question there. Restaurant-wise, I'm not too picky. I like, you know, there's just so many places I like to go. So it's, you know, I like Mexican food. I like Italian food. I like, you know, I got to tell you, though, I'm a big fan of sports bars. I really like Buffalo Wild Wings. And that's really taken off in the Midwest. And I'm sure it's all around the United States. I don't know if you've had a Buffalo Wild Wings near you, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a franchise. It's really I love the sports bar atmosphere where you can just see games and, you know, stuff like that. So I got to say that's a favorite of mine. And then as far as like music goes, I've always been into rock music. I always shock people when I tell them I'm into like really hard rock music, because they like see a picture of me and it's like they think I'm into like Christian rock music or something like that. Like, I get that every time. And I interned for a rock station, and even the DJs were like, "You listen to this music?" And they just, you know, it's really surprised. But I've always been into rock music in general. I've been more open lately, you know, especially in my college years when I go to bars and house parties, you're going to hear, you know, popular, not rock music, you know, stuff that's on the Billboard, you know, top 20. And I'm open to that stuff when I'm drinking and having fun with friends, but I probably wouldn't listen to it in private, but definitely into rock music. And were we supposed to name bands that we're into? Just like...
Sure.
Trying to think of like... I really like Breaking Benjamin. I've seen them live a couple times. They're really good. Live, and that's what impressed me, is when a band can play good live and sound good and sound the same way. I listen to everything hard rock. So if you listen to hard rock music, I listen to everything. So
another question from the chat room. It says, in your opinion, what was the greatest period in the history of sports entertainment?
This could be a skewed opinion. If, you know, back when, you know, I was a little kid, it was fun back then when you didn't know everything. And you were still, it was still kind of real to you.
Yeah. My whole thing is, you know, there were two huge boom periods. Well, there were actually three, but a lot of people don't really talk about the one in the mid-50s. When TV started getting big and wrestling was on the Dumont Network, that really brought a lot of fans to wrestling in the 50s. Then, of course, there was the 80s, Hulkamania, and the Monday Night Wars. Those are top three, I think.
Yeah,
the top three eras. But I would have to go with the Hulkamania era. Basically for the same thing, for the same reason Adam said, I really didn't care about what was going on backstage or who was going out with who or whatever. And they really didn't need it to basically cripple themselves to entertain me. If you've ever seen, you know, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant matches, if they put that match on TV today, people would hate it.
Yeah, they would.
It was slow. It was lumbering. It was really methodical. But back then, it was all about building. It was all about the build-up to it. And the build-ups they did were so huge. There was the pay-per-views all meant something. Everything meant something. And you really don't get that anymore. The Monday Night Wars was just throw everything at the screen. And a lot of stuff stuck. But a lot of stuff didn't either.
I agree with you about the 80s, but I got to say the Monday Night Wars was the most exciting just because I grew up watching it in the early 90s. But when the Monday Night Wars was going down, because I'm still pretty young, as you know, I'm only 22, but when I was in, you know, grade school, like, you know, like fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, you know, junior high, get into high school, probably right when I got into high school is when it started, you know, it was right when it was in 99, 2000 when it really started to, you know, kind of take a downturn a little bit, right before WCW went out of business in ECW, but it was just fun to know that on a Tuesday, you could go to school and everybody was talking about Raw or Nitro or what happened. And it was, you could tell, and I'm sure a lot of people could relate to this, where you were one of those people who used to always know all your friends would watch, and then you became that person. It started to dwindle where you became the only person who was still watching. And like, I have a group of friends that I went to high school with and college with, and they all they can't believe I still watch it to this day, and they'll occasionally turn it on and watch it. But I got to say, the Monday Night War stuff was fun because you could go to school, talk to everybody. Everybody was talking to everybody was watching, and it wasn't like that when I was in the early 90s when, you know, some people did, but they didn't really care enough. And that's when people really were watching and really really cared. And that's probably never going to happen again. But I got to say that was the most exciting for me, and it'll be different for anybody you ask though from any age bracket. I think, you know.
Yeah. We only got time for one more question, and we're going to get Davari on here. But I wanted to end with this one. This was a pretty good one from Josh. He said, is Santino the funniest, awesomest heel now? I'm going to go ahead and tell you no. Santino is irritating. He's annoying. And it's not the good kind of heat. It's the kind where I want to change the channel.
Really?
Yes.
See, I gotta disagree with you, and I gotta say he's been the most entertaining. King Booker to me was very entertaining with the stuff he was doing, and a lot of people just hated it, but I loved every second of it because I knew what he was doing.
It makes me sad for Santino because, you know, they make him look ridiculous, and
they do. But see, that's the thing though, is that, you know, he came in as one thing. He came in as this like baby face from Italy who beat Umaga with Bobby Lashley's help, and now look where he's at now. I mean, it's completely different. And
they're giving a lot of mic time and stuff, but this angle, and I'm telling you now, mark it on your calendars, this has no longevity to it.
Yeah, no, I will agree with you in that aspect, that it doesn't really have the the will to maybe go on a lot longer. Right now, it's entertaining. I like his promo, you know, like last week before Steve Austin came out, that was hilarious, where he was telling Jim Ross that, you know, we're not going to hear you orgasm like you usually do. And Steve, I mean, it's his delivery and the way he delivers. He's, I mean, to me, he's funny. It's refreshing to see somebody out there that has that comedic timing, that gets it, knows how to do it. The accent's funny, regardless of who you are. I mean, if you hear somebody talk like that, you're going to laugh.
Yeah, but this is not stand-up comedy show.
It's not a stand-up comedy show, but it is entertainment. And, like you know, I was one of the people who hated when DX came back, because I was just, it was just pee-pee and fart jokes to me. It wasn't funny at all.
Right.
And this is refreshing because it's kind of that borderline, I'm acting stupid on purpose to get a, you know, kind of that, it's not like the, oh, this is, oh, it's like that, it's that I'm laughing, but I'm groaning at the same time, because you want to groan, but you want to laugh at the same time because it's so stupid. And some of the stuff he says is stupid. Some stuff is delivered well. I like the character. I think it's refreshing, but I do agree with you in that it may not be funny a couple months from now.
Like a lot of people right now, when they watch Santino come on, they're like, oh, Santino, he's going to do something stupid. This is going to be great.
Well, that's it's funny. I mean, it's
that's what they're seeing. What I see when I see Santino, I see the year and a half in the future Santino, the guy who's broke, the guy who just got let go, the guy who's been jobbing for a year. And in 3 months, when people get tired of this, he's going to have nothing to go on to.
Yeah, good point.
I'm not saying it's not possible, because it can happen. He can find another hook. But after this, after the way they make him look ridiculous every week, no one's going to take him seriously. You can't take him seriously as an opponent, and this is wrestling. Mark my words. Mark it on the calendar. Come back in a year and a half, and if Santino's still working there, you can just ram it in my face. But I'm telling you, he's not going to be. You're listening to Doc Young and Adam Martin from WrestleView.com on Wrestling Weekly. We've got Sean Tavari coming up in just a minute. We're going to get him on the line here. So hang out with us and come on in and ask your chat room questions at WrestlingWeekly.com. Click on the chat link. Santino. Tavari. I'm excited about this.
We have Santino on, that would be just as entertaining, but I'm looking forward
that
to talking
to him. That would be, because he would be like, why are you talking to me like that?
You know you love the accent.
I can't.
Just don't admit it.
I can't exactly do it, but we're going to take a break. We'll be back, guys.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, baby, I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out wrestling-radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to wrestling-radio.com to hear shows like Evan Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to wrestling-radio.com. Gotta log on and check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, wrestling-radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin Draven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? when it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill. It's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Doc Young and Adam Martin with you back here at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now is our featured guest. He's a former WWE superstar. Sean Daivari is with us. Sean, is it Sean Daivari now, or is it still Daivari?
No, I mean, my full name is Sean Daivari, but, you know, Daivari is actually my last name, so I guess people just feel free to call me whatever they're most comfortable with.
So you're residing right now in the Minnesota area, is that correct?
No, actually, I'm in Houston. I just moved to Houston from Minneapolis about 4 weeks ago. I've done 23 blistering cold winters, and I just couldn't bear another one, so I came down to a warmer climate, which is great. I was out of my convertible today. It was like 80-some degrees, and my little brother back home says it's already starting to snow a little bit. So,
did you grow up around the Minnesota area?
Yeah, I mean, I've been born and raised. I lived there my whole life. Coming here to Houston was my first endeavor outside of the Minneapolis, Twin Cities, St. Paul area.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we're in the Midwest. It's not quite as cold as Minnesota, but I know how cold some of those Minnesota nights could be, and I don't really blame you all that much.
It's brutal, man, especially with the business we're in. I couldn't tell you the number of flights I've had canceled and delayed due to weather reasons or, you know, just delayed flights due to de-icing, and then you miss your connection. I mean, it's just terrible for this industry.
Well, I was going to say, because I live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is kind of in the heart of the Midwest, and Minneapolis has some bad, bad winters. And
yeah,
I was kind of wondering about how that messed with your travel schedule with the WWE.
It did a little bit. That was actually how I ended up in Houston. I was actually a little spoiled out of Minneapolis, because Minneapolis is a Northwest hub airport, and being able to travel in and out of a hub airport and the convenience of almost direct flights everywhere and you know, just having such a major airport where you barely have to make connections and stuff, and then it pretty much
boiled down to from there, I was looking at what cities had a hub airport that don't deal with winners, and it was either here or Los Angeles, and I definitely didn't want to live in Los Angeles, so that's how I ended up in Houston.
You started out, well, I wouldn't say started out, but a lot of people don't know this, but you appeared in TNA for a while.
Yeah, I did a few televised matches for TNA right around 2000, I want to say 2002, maybe it was 2003. My name really started getting out there, and people were starting to take notice of me, and I was, you know, I felt like I was on the break to bigger and better things in 2004, and whether that was, you know, in Japan and TNA and WWE, it all kind of came to fruition at the same time. WWE was the offer that situated me the best, or seemed the best to me for a multitude of reasons. So actually I got offered my WWE contract and got an offer to go wrestle in Japan like in the same week. I think Japan offered me to go over on my first tour like on Monday, and I got an offer from WWE on like Wednesday. So everything really came together that summer of 2004.
And did you work for Ring of Honor at one point? Because I remember seeing some footage of you with some Ring of Honor guys. So
yeah, I wrestled Ring of Honor. You know, not too many. I'd say I think it was maybe like 5 matches or 6 matches or something. I just did them for them here and there. And then like my last month before I got signed was another one where they just kind of officially asked me to work full time for them, and I was doing every one of their shows regardless where they were in the country. And my last independent show was the ROH show, and then I got signed. That was like Saturday. I said again, that was Saturday. Got the offer to go to Japan on Monday, and I got the offer from WWE on Wednesday.
Oh, that's excellent. You had a hiatus around 2005.
Yeah.
Can you explain the circumstances around that?
I wish I could, but I really, honest to God, don't know. I just know that there was a decision made that the Hassan and Daivari characters were no longer going to be on WWE TV, and I don't know if that was a decision that came from WWE. I don't know if that came from UPN. I don't know if that came from Viacom. I really don't know where the buck lies with that one. So, like, even for myself, if I knew what it was, I would tell you guys, but I really don't know.
Was it basically, I guess, in a storyline sense, is Muhammad Hassan dead?
You know, I don't want to take it that far. I think it was kind of one of those things where it was like a metaphorical type thing, like they killed off the character. I don't think they ever wanted anyone to insinuate he was dead. I think it was just kind of like an indefinite injury, and maybe at some point in line down the road, maybe they had plans on bringing him back once he recovered from this injury as someone other than Muhammad Hassan. I really don't know, but I think if it was actual, like, death, they would have, especially with a gimmick like The Undertaker, I think they would have played that up a little more than they did. I think shortly thereafter, it was just never even referenced on television ever again.
We're talking with Daivari here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. When they gave you this storyline that you were going to be this manager with Muhammad Hassan, what were your initial reactions to the story that they wanted you to play?
I was cool with it. I mean, it was all me. It was stuff I was doing before I came to WWE. You know, the character, it wasn't really a character. It was really me. I was a born Arab American. Both my mom and dad are full-blooded Iranians, and they moved to the United States in the 70s, and then I was born in the 80s. And, like, you know, so I am legitimately an Arab American at that point. And growing up, I was raised in, like, the suburbs of Minneapolis, so predominantly white neighborhood. You know, there's just, you know, I never felt like a minority at all until after 9/11. Then once 9/11 happened, even though physically I wasn't a typical white kid, you know, that's really when I realized that, you know, I really, really am not a white kid. That's when I started feeling a little bit different. I started feeling other people's reactions towards me, or I felt like leery eyeballs on me every once in a while. And that was the first time in my life that I felt like a minority in the United States. And that was pretty much the character they gave us. So it was definitely, I think, one of the reasons that I was able to do it so well is because it wasn't a far stretch by any means. It was just me being myself.
Did you feel, I mean, this is just an observation, but, I mean, I was someone, I mean, I grew up with a lot of Arab American people, and it didn't really, I don't know, like, I didn't really feel different about the person after September 11th, but it's like, I could understand you being in that position where you're traveling, you're in airports a lot. I know I've read a couple interviews where you said you really didn't get a lot of flack from that, but, like, what was the
atmosphere back. I mean, because I know at that point you joined the company, and it passed for a couple of years, but they were really tapping in to something that was, you know, with the Iraq War going on right now. I mean, it was very relevant to kind of what they did in the early 90s with Sergeant Slaughter and Hulk Hogan, you know, when they brought, you know, the Iron Sheik and, you know, stuff like that. Did it, I mean, you know, you're in a position where you kind of just are doing what they tell you, but did it ever, I mean, did you ever feel uncomfortable? I mean, did anybody around you say, wow, I can't believe they're doing that, or they're actually doing this with you?
No, it never came that way, because I personally never felt, and if someone else did, no one's ever brought it to my attention, I never felt that I was distasteful. I don't ever recall us doing something like, you know, wiping our asses with an American flag, or you know, at the time we had a lot of soldiers in the audience because WWE was giving out free tickets to soldiers, you know, or to come to the pay-per-views and come to the live events. You showed your military ID, you got a free admission to the show. And, you know, we never did anything where we messed with them when they were at ringside or anything. I never felt like it got to the point where it was distasteful. I almost thought we were just a very, very strong political satire on the stuff. If anything, we just healed on the American people in general, but never specifically or distastefully or unjustly. That was one of the reasons that it got so much heat for us, was a lot of the stuff we said, even though people disagreed with it, a majority of it was the truth. And there's nothing worse than a guy you absolutely hate and dislike, and he's beating up all your heroes like Chris Jericho, like Chris Benoit, like Shelton Benjamin, you know, like Hulk Hogan, and that guy's right in the conversation he's having. You know, he's not saying anything that's wrong. There's nothing worse than the person you despise being right.
Right.
So that was one of the things I felt was pretty, you know, highbrow or, you know, high road of the stuff we did at the time. You know, that was, I feel, one of WWE's better writing, because you could tell they put time and attention in that stuff. I remember being told, like, here's what we're doing next week, where you can ask some guys and they're booked on a pay-per-view and they don't even know what they're doing. And I was, you know, we were knowing what we were doing sometimes 7 to 14 days in advance. So it just goes to show, when they do put their thoughts and they do put their efforts into it, they really, you know, have been successful at making quality television. It seems they're putting less and less time and effort into stuff lately.
When you were in the midst of this storyline, and there was a lot of I guess emotional reactions to the characters and stuff, did you guys feel it in your everyday lives?
No, not really. I think today the fans are smart enough that they realize how much a part of the show they are, as well as we are. Mm-hmm. And even though I've been, you know, literally threatened to be, you know, killed or you know, beat up in the parking lot, I've had, you know, beer bottles and stuff thrown at me while we've been in the ring, you know, stuff like that. And then the same fan, if he sees you in the lobby of the air at the hotel or in the airport or something, they're dying for an autograph or to take a picture with you. So I think when the red light's on and the camera, they're as much part of the show as we are. And it shows when you could have, you know, two of the biggest stars of our industry, like, say, you know, say Mr. Kennedy and John Cena in the ring, for example, and when they shoot that hard cam, you look at the people, they're not looking at what's going on in the ring. They're standing up and looking to their right to see if their sign's on the Titantron or if their friends
right.
can see them, you know. I think that's just the fans enjoying being a part of the show as much as we enjoy putting on a show for them.
Absolutely. I want to get to some questions from our live chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com. Come on in and get your last-minute questions in for Daivari here on Wrestling Weekly. Weebo says, Daivari, what are your thoughts on Muhammad Hussain? Should WWE bring him back, or should TNA pick him up?
Well, I don't think he has any intentions of wrestling anymore. He's kind of doing his own thing in Hollywood right now, and he's being, you know, fairly successful. He's only, you know, he's only really been out there for 2 years almost, and he's covered a lot of ground in those 2 years. So I don't necessarily know. I think if he wanted to be back in wrestling, he would have done it by now. He hasn't even ever done an autograph signing, or he hasn't even done an independent show or anything. So I think if he had any intentions whatsoever of being in wrestling, he already would have. But I think it's safe to say that he's done and out.
Chatter named Jesus says, do you believe that you'll join the TNA X division, or do you have a no-compete?
Well, I have a 90-day no-compete with WWE, and it's actually going to expire January 5th. So shortly thereafter, if there's an opportunity to go work in TNA, you know, I think it's something I definitely look into. I'm not, you know, the top of my resume says professional wrestler, so wherever that makes more sense, be it TNA, be it Mexico, be it Japan, be it independence here in the States, whatever opportunity presents itself that's best for the promotion, myself and the audience, is the route I'll take. And if that's TNA, then yeah, so be it. If that's in the X division, if that's, you know, as a referee, if that's a guy that sets up the ring, if that's the best opportunity for TNA, for Sean Daivari, and for the audience, then that's the route we'll take.
Would you say that maybe Ring of Honor is maybe a little more attractive now that they have pay-per-view and they're putting on some more shows across the United States as opposed to the last time you worked for them?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, at the time when I was working for them, they were the biggest independent wrestling company in the country. And you look at it today, and now it's almost like it's the biggest independent wrestling company in the world, where you have big, big name wrestlers from other territories like Japan and Mexico and stuff, and they're coming to the United States and doing these shows. Like, that's something that they're taking time out of their schedule to come do this. So they obviously are doing something right. I think the opportunity to work in TNA, regardless of Ring of Honor, if they did or didn't have pay-per-view, isn't a super huge difference for me. I think if it's an opportunity that works out well for me, if it works out well for Ring of Honor, if it works out well for the ROH audience, then it's definitely an avenue I'd explore.
Josh says, do you think TNA is too complicated to keep up with?
Sometimes it can be, and I shouldn't say just TNA, because I've seen that in TNA, I've seen that in WWE, and I've seen that in WCW when it's around. The simplest denominator is usually the best answer, and sometimes when people try and elaborate beyond that, you can lose the audience very easily.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to look at it is if the wrestlers can't follow it, you're asking too much of the audience to follow it. Because I promise you, the wrestlers will pay much, much more attention and give you much more of their time than a regular channel surfer will. And right now, that's who TNA needs to appeal to, is that channel surfer. They have their core fans. They have their, 1.1, 1.2 that they're scoring in every week. They already have those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to grab everybody else.
Right.
And that's what they need to do, as, become much more appealing to the channel changers, because the wrestling fans will always be there. If you have a good wrestling product, which they do, the wrestling fans will stay. But it's everybody else you have to try and lure in.
I just want to ask really quick, too, you bring up the ratings for TNA. I hear this a lot, and I know that they post ratings backstage at WWE. You were obviously there in the atmosphere. Ratings obviously are very, very important. Is that something that for instance, Booker T just debuted in TNA on Sunday. He's going from a company that does very, very good television ratings to a company that does decent but nowhere near WWE. Is that something that you really put in a stock as the, wow, people really do care, or is it more just how you are working in the ring, how you are with the wrestlers, how the atmosphere is like? How important were the ratings to you when you were working at WWE?
Well, ratings are important for a number of reasons. Ultimately, if you score a higher rating, that means you can charge more money for revenue, for advertising.
Right.
And if you can charge more money for advertising, that means you have more revenue. If you have more revenue, that means a bigger payroll. So that's how it boils down to talent. The show with the highest ratings usually can have the biggest budget to pay the talent, and that's the new, and now it's even in pay-per-view. Wrestling used to be driven by ticket sales. Now wrestling is driven by pay-per-view. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and TNA Impact.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much commercials for the pay-per-view. You use those commercials to get people to buy the pay-per-view. In that sense, the ratings are important, but also, on the other hand, being able to contribute to the industry and what you're able to bring to the program, depending on who you are, can also mean much more than the ratings. You look at someone like Booker T, if he comes in and he's working, just especially as talented as he is, he might say he doesn't single-handedly turn around the ratings, and then people might say and look at him and be like, oh, maybe Booker T's a failure. Well, that's not the case, because from Booker T being there, he has so much knowledge and so much to offer that company that he can apply that and offer that to all the other talent that hasn't worked with someone like a Booker T before, and then collectively as a team, they can bring the whole product up. I mean, I know that probably, I'd say it was about 3 weeks in a row, I worked straight with Booker T on Raw just right before SummerSlam. About the 3 weeks going into SummerSlam, Booker T specifically worked with me on my matches on the house shows and just different ideas and interviews and stuff, and really took some time with me when we were on a tour of Mexico and you know, kind of explained stuff to me. And I noticed the progression of my matches, how much better they've gotten just by talking to him for 3 weeks. So now if you take someone like that and put him and be able to make him accessible to everybody in the locker room, say over the course of a couple years, not just talking to him but actually being able to get in the ring and work with them, he's going to be able to step everybody's game up. And then as a team, you know, you're able to bring the whole product up, which will hopefully bring the rating up with it.
All right. Fine. I think I lost my call. Oh, here it is. Resthold says, do you agree that Minnesota is the greatest wrestling state in terms of producing homegrown pro wrestlers out of all the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anymore, but it seems like we had a hell of a track record. I mean, even like you can go as recent as Mr. Kennedy, myself, and then it kind of just trickles down every year. Brock Lesnar, you know, a lot of these guys come out of there, but independent wrestling on a whole seems to have taken a little bit of a dive. And this is, you know, like I said, my last year is doing the independent scenes until now has been 2003-ish. So, and when I was there, all the guys that have been wrestling since 1993 have told me how much of a dive it's been. And I bet all the guys in 93 were told by the guys from 83 what a dive it's been. So it's kind of hard now to say that one specific place is producing talent, especially when you have so many wrestling schools out there now. You know, like I said, we do have a good track record of producing good stuff, but that's only the guys you hear about. I've seen a lot of crap come out of the state of Minnesota. So fortunately, anyone you've ever heard of has made a success for themselves. That's exactly the case. It's the only reason it seems so good is that you only hear about the good guys that have come out of there. You don't hear about all the trash I've seen come in, stink up the joint, and then hang up their boots, you know, year later.
Yeah. We're speaking with Davari here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Choose Death in the chat room says, do you still use the Magic Carpet Ride finisher again?
Yeah, I started to. When I wrestle as a babyface, I like to do it. It usually gets a very positive reaction from the audience. So I try to avoid it when I work as a heel, which has been my whole run in WWE, which is the main reason I never did it up there. But now I'm getting a lot more opportunities to wrestle as a babyface. I pulled it out, and it always seems to get a positive reaction, or a very strong reaction from the audience.
Johnny Deformed says, do you feel that your WWE character was a negative stereotype?
No, I don't think so, because like I said, we never took it in the toilet. I think if we got to the point where we're going to be laying down flags and spitting on it and pulling out, you know, plants dressed up as soldiers in the crowd and kicking their teeth in and stuff. Mm-hmm. If it ever got to the stuff like that, I think it could be a negative stereotype. We never really gratuitously talked about terrorism or bombs or stuff like that. Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, like, once we kind of avoided subjects like that, I was okay with it. But if it ever got to that point, I think it would be too cheap and too easy where then it just becomes a boring stereotype and nothing that I care to really do. It's just unintelligent. I mean, that along the line of going into New York and saying the Yankees suck. It's just pretty cheap. I mean,
right.
You know, if you're in this industry, you should be able to do much better than that.
Weebo asked the question that, well, you've been doing a lot of interviews lately, and I figured everybody would know this already, but Weebo did ask why you were released, so I guess not everybody knows yet.
Yeah, actually what happened was I quit WWE on October 8th. We had been negotiating for about 6 months prior to that about a new contract, and we came to terms, you know, on paper about what we were going to do for this next term for my next contract, which would have been 3 more years, which would have held me till February of 2011. And we got that hammered out, and then on the creative side, it was just, you know, not exactly sure what was going to happen. So that was one of those things where I didn't want to tie myself up for 3 years if I wasn't generally aware of the direction that I would be going. Once we couldn't come to a creative resolution, I went to Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon and let them know that I wasn't going to be re-signing my contract to stay with them. And then I also asked them at that point, I was like, you know, would you just mind if I got out of my deal early? You know, it's pretty obvious if you're not going to stay there. Obviously, they're not going to utilize you because it would be a waste of their time to invest in you just to have you leave.
Right.
So once it was kind of sure that I wasn't going to be resigning, I asked them if it would be okay if I bowed out early in my deal. And, you know, contractually, they didn't have to. I was legally contractually obligated to work for them, and
right,
they could have benched me at home if they wanted to for, God knows how long. But I think they were very appreciative of me being honest with them, and they knew why I was leaving. So I think in that sense, they were very cool about it. They were very, you know, very upfront and said, we appreciate you not kicking us around and being like, oh, I'll sign it next week, I'll sign it next week, I'll sign it next week, and then never doing it.
Right.
And, you know, and just being upfront with them and being honest with them, and they just thanked me for all the work I'd done for them, and they said, if you'd ever like to come back, we'd be more than happy to have you. And that was pretty much the end of it.
Great. Do you have a website or anything?
Yeah, I do. It's www.seandevari.com. And then if you want to get a hold of me for bookings or anything, you can get a hold of my agent at bookdevari.com, and they'll take care of all the, you know, independent shows, autograph signings, wrestling seminars, what have you.
Excellent. We're up against the clock. We got to get out of here. But Devari, best wishes, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Like I was going to say, I've been saying in all my interviews is top of my resume says pro wrestler. It's not specifically affiliated with anyone or any other promotion. So
right.
if you're a true wrestling fan and you watch a wrestling product, chances are sooner or later you'll be seeing me.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. Sean Devari here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Adam, that's going to wrap it up. Did you have fun filling in for Les today?
I had lots of fun. It's been a while since I've been a part of a two-hour wrestling show, so it brought back some good memories. And Sean had some great discussion to talk about. And I remember we talked about this earlier, how, you know, he's done so many interviews, and
yes,
it's kind of, you know, it's a little, it's hard to put in that position where you're just, yeah, you know, you want to talk about different stuff, but people just cover so much. But I think the questions asked by the people in the chat room were great, and it was a good transition from some other interviews
you've
done.
Good job, guys.
Yes,
next week, Les will be back, because I can't see him being sick this long.
Unless he just lies to you because he doesn't want
to. We're expecting Les back next week. We'll put it that way. J.J. Dillon is going to be with us next week. He's going to be talking about his new DVD called Guest Booker with J.J. Dillon. You can get it at kayfabecommentaries.com. Get it and watch it. And then come and ask him some questions about the content on the DVD, because that's what we're going to talk about next week. Other than that, it's time to get out of here. If you're on the East Coast of the United States listening live, enjoy ECW. It's coming on Sci-Fi right now. We'll see you guys next week. Adam, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here, Doc.